All right, well today, like you saw, we're finishing up today our series on the Holy Spirit, and it's been a great journey. Today we're going to be talking about what happens in our lives when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, But let me ask you this question to get us started. How many of you, have you ever experienced the God or the Holy Spirit working in you or through you or around you in a significant way? Have you ever experienced God or the Holy Spirit working in you or through you or around you in a significant way? You know, when I was in college, I got the cool privilege of getting to be on staff at my home church. I got to serve as the interim youth director at my home church in Norcross, and what a cool opportunity that was, getting to, you know, grow up in the youth group there and give my life to Jesus there and sense a call to ministry there and then get to serve in the student ministry. I don't think that there's a greater ministry than what happens with our next generation. But one summer we went, as we did every year, we went on a retreat called TLC, Teens Love Christ. And for those of you who are around our student ministry, that might ring a bell because our students, our 6th through 12th graders, just got back in middle of the summer from going on TLC. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And this, you know, TLC is, it stands for Teens Love Christ, and this summer, both student ministries actually came together, our Fountain students and the Norcross students, and we came together to run this camp, and it was so good. So anyway, I'm leading this youth group as much as I knew how, and there's this moment, if you, the students know this who are on this, there's a moment at TLC every night that's called practicing the presence of God, basically. And it's a little different because after a day of messages and music and games and all these activities that we've been doing, you know, it's like your hair is on fire, you know, kind of a live experience. Students walk in and practicing the presence to the chapel as it's dimly lit and it's pretty quiet. There's maybe a little bit of picking on the guitar, but students, it's carved out so that people can come in and can just be in God's presence, can remain silent and pray and listen for how God, the Holy Spirit, is working and speaking. And I have to be honest, when I was a teenager, and even as an adult, it's kind of awkward at first when you walk into this dimly lit, quiet experience, because I don't know if you're like this, but it's kind of not normal in our lives to be quiet, right? There is clutter, there's noise and distractions all around us. And so at first it feels kind of weird, but then after you're there for a little bit, after you're still, you begin to hear God speaking and working. And this is kind of what this is designed to do. And usually after about 20 minutes of silence and prayer, ironically, this is oftentimes one of the most powerful moments of the entire camp. It's one of the students, sometimes students come back and say, that was one of my favorite moments when God showed up. After about 20 minutes of doing this, of praying and all this stuff, the leader comes forward and says, hey, you're dismissed to go back to your dorms whenever you know, for the night, whenever you feel led, you're welcome to remain as long as you want. And usually, after that time, about 20 minutes, most students kind of gradually make their way out. But on this night, one night at TLC, it was like Pentecost. It was like the Holy Spirit rushed in, moved among us, and filled the room so much that it was almost like a revival broke out on that night that I got to be a part of and I got to witness. And it wasn't just like this immediate thing that happened. It was almost like the culmination of everything that God had been doing throughout the camp, building and building and building. And it was almost like we were finally strategically positioned and surrendered to God enough in order for God to work through us. But that night in the chapel, there was this undeniable sense that God was there. Like the Holy Spirit was moving and speaking right to us in the chapel in a way that was more than normal, right? And I have to tell you, you might think, well, that sounds weird. That sounds odd. It sounds cold or foreign, but it wasn't that at all. In fact, it made you feel like you were the most welcomed you could ever feel, the most loved you could ever feel, the most alive that you could ever feel. It was almost like you were home. It just felt like you were home. And we were just sitting in silence, and I'm like the leader, and this is kind of cool when God starts to speak and do things that are outside of what you prepared, you know? Like we prayed, and we prepared, and I preached, and we led, but all of a sudden God took over, and we're sitting there in silence, and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit was at work, lovingly ministering to people, adults and students. is speaking to the hearts and lives of maybe where people had broken places, encouraging people, speaking to us. And some students, it was crazy, 6th through 12th graders, there were students in there, many of them just had their mouths wide open in awe. It was undeniable. Some of them were just smiling, and they couldn't stop smiling. It was really cool to see that much joy. Some of them were laughing, not in disrespect, but just they couldn't help. It was just they were overcome with joy by the presence of God in that place. And some of them were just emotionally crying in thankfulness. Others were hugging. It was weird to see this. It was a youth group that had been through a whole lot of transition, and there was a lot of hurt, and people were hugging, and they started laying hands on each other and praying for people. It was like, this is 6th through 12th graders. This is not what we normally see with this group, but God was moving. And it just seemed like Pentecost, like we read about. And at that moment, I took my sandals off like Moses did in Exodus 3 because I realized at that moment the place that we were standing was holy ground. God was there. And after the dismissal came that night, nobody wanted to move. Nobody wanted to leave. In fact, it felt like we were in heaven with God, and nobody wanted to be anywhere else. And that night, many of the students stayed in the presence of God in that place for over 2 hours, praying and listening to God. It was crazy. And it was one of these things where, although we were there for 2 hours, everyone said it felt like we were only here for a few minutes. And that's the closest experience that I've ever experienced to what it might be like when we go to heaven someday, to be with God. The Holy Spirit rushed in, and I saw God bring revival to a youth group through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, we said the Holy Spirit is not some random ghost that's mysterious, kind of like floating around like Ghostbusters, right? Here's what we've been saying is that the Holy Spirit is the real presence and power of God who is actively working in the world. In other words, the Holy Spirit is just God in spirit form. He's just God. And so we talked a lot about the presence of God, how God is with us and in us if we're believers. We talked about the dunamis, the power of God, enabling us to do so many things in the world. But today I want to talk with us about what happens when God fills us with the fruit of the Spirit and with spiritual gifts to empower us to do the work God has for us in the world. You know, growing up, the fruits of the Spirit was kind of, always seemed kind of corny to me. Can I say that? The fruits of the Spirit was really corny to me growing up because the only time I really remembered hearing about the fruits of the Spirit was in kids' ministry. And there was usually these like really, you know, dorky cutouts of fruit, you know, of like, you know, grapes and pears and bananas and apples. And there were words that were written on them that I guess were the fruits of the Spirit, you know. And I always kind of thought, like, I don't see the correlation between a fruit basket and life with God. Like, that didn't make any sense. It was kind of like a missed attempt to connect the dots, for me at least. In fact, to make matters worse, we sang some really, really corny songs. In fact, one of them sounded something like this.
Ooh, the fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon. The fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon. You want to be a watermelon, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yeah, so the fruits of the Spirit, you know, and it's kind of like if that's who God is and that's what God gives us, I don't know that I want that fruit. Like, I'll just eat vegetables instead, you know. I didn't know. But in Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit, and it's a big deal. In fact, he's talking about the difference in walking in the flesh, which is a real spiritual way to say walking with your own power. He talks about how sometimes we walk with our own power, and there's certain things that happen in our life when we walk with our own power without God. And the difference between that and walking in the Spirit, which basically means depending on the dunamis, the explosive power of God that's available in our lives. And Paul gives 9 characteristics or attributes that are the fruit of, or the result of, or the evidence of our connection to God when His Spirit is alive in us. And I want you to check out this list of what happens when God is connected to our lives. Here's what it says in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 and 23. Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit, you just heard it sung, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And love is kind of the over-encompassing one, right? Everything else kind of flows from that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Like, these are the fruits of the Spirit. Now, this is just a list, but if I were to ask you right now, like, do you want to be more, would you love to be more loving in your life? Like, would you like to have more joy in your life, no matter what you go through? Do you want to have joy in the middle of no matter what you face? Do you want to have more peace in your life? Do you want to have more patience and self-control? And the answer is yes. Like, all of us want these things, these fruits of the Spirit. But the problem is, so many times what we think is, in order to have the fruits of the Spirit, what I've got to do is I've got to work really hard. And so we think, well, I'm just got to be more loving right now. You know, I'm trying to work on being more loving, right? Or maybe we're like, you know, I slept in the Snuggie because I'm trying to work on being more gentle, you know? Or you know, hey, kids, everybody run around and go crazy because I'm trying to work on my patience. I will be more self-controlled. We think this is what it's like. It's just we've got to power through to do these things and to accomplish these things. But the truth is, Paul is saying that's exactly the point. That's what it looks like when you rely on your flesh, when you rely on your own power. You can't produce that in your life, really. In fact, the fruits of the Spirit is not about outward performance, and it's also not a legalistic list that Paul is saying and God is saying to us, be loving, be gracious. You know, it's not these things. It's like, okay, we'll do it, right? The fruit of the Spirit is simply simply about cultivating a heart and a life that is more and more surrendered to God. And so here's the bottom line when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, and it's this. The bottom line is this. The fruit of the Spirit is a result of your connection to God. It's all about your connection. In fact, these fruits of the Spirit, they naturally flow from and they grow like fruit when you're connected to God, right? They naturally grow out of that. And so when you're more connected to God and it's His power that actually produces these fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, all these things in our lives. In fact, Jesus, Paul is actually referencing, is alluding to a metaphor Jesus talked about in John chapter 15. I want you to check out what Jesus said about the vine and the branches in John 15. Here's what he said. Jesus said, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." This is what Jesus is talking about. And so going back to this idea of connection, like Jesus is saying, if you want to have love and joy and peace and patience and all these things, the trick is to not manpower it or not to try to get it and try to work on it. The trick is that the Holy Spirit will produce that when we're connected to God. And it's the same thing. When a fruit gets disconnected from a tree, every fruit has a shelf life, right? Every fruit has a shelf life. In fact, when a fruit gets disconnected, immediately it begins over time to wither and it will eventually die. For a fruit to come alive, and for it to be growing, it has to be connected. And so it is with you, with the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit will come alive when you're connected more and more to God. And so the same thing works when it comes to an apple tree. Like an apple tree doesn't have to work to produce apples. It's a natural thing that it does when it's healthy, right? And so when it's connected and growing from a tree, the fruits of the Spirit, it's for us, it's really about walking closer and closer to God. And so one of the things that I've also found is that the fruits of the Spirit are also a great way for us to gauge where we are in our connection with God. What I found in my life, it's a good barometer. What I found is that oftentimes, if you start to see that your life, you're starting to not be as loving, to not have as much peace, to not have as much joy and patience and kindness and self-control, if you start to see, whoa, I'm starting to drift in that area, what do we oftentimes do? Oh, I got to work on this and I got to try harder. But the truth is, it's a signal, it's a sign that, whoa, 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 what I really need is to get close. I need to draw close and remain in God. And God naturally produces these fruits in us. And although we can't work on those things, we can create space and room for God for us to connect with God. One of the best ways that we can do that is through prayer, right? We can pray, we can talk to God and listen to God and do that regularly. It's a way we can connect. Another way is to simply read scripture, you know, meditating on God's word. Another good way to stay connected to God is just stay connected in godly community. It's an important thing. People can help us. Christians can help us to stay connected to God. And when we are connected to God, the fruit naturally comes, right? Like we will, our natural response will be love. Joy will flow in our lives. Like we will have a different kind of peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. We will be more self-controlled when we're connected to Jesus. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. Now let's talk about spiritual gifts. The fruits of the Spirit are different than spiritual gifts. In fact, I've heard people say this before. You know, sometimes people will say, well, I just don't have the gift of love. I don't have the gift of patience. God didn't give that to me. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That is not a gift of the Spirit. That is a fruit of the Spirit. They're very different things, right? In fact, the fruits of the Spirit, all nine fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, all the ones we talked about, all of those are qualities that every follower of Jesus should start to have more and more in their lives when we're connected to Jesus. We shouldn't be without any of those, right? We should start to have more and more and more developed in us. But the gifts of the Spirit are different. In fact, here's what a spiritual gift is. A spiritual gift is a unique supernatural ability given to every believer to do God's work. It's a unique spiritual or supernatural ability to give into every believer to do God's work. First, the scripture says, within the church to build up the body of Christ. You're supposed to use your spiritual gift to build up the church in the body of Christ together and to extend that impact out in the world. You know, to help illustrate this, I came across this, and I thought it was cool. September 13th, 2004, a crazy thing happened in the world. A live studio audience gathered, mostly women, in Chicago, Illinois, to be a part of the Oprah Winfrey Show. And you may have heard this, you may have seen the video, but this was a more special day than normal on the Oprah Winfrey Show, because Oprah called up 11 educators, 11 people who are involved in education, and she surprised them. She said, look, you're not here for what I just called you up for. Today, I want to give you all a brand new car, a G6. She kept saying G6 like that, you know, a G6 given by Pontiac. And so they all, these 11 people went crazy. Like they got a brand new car on the spot, and everybody was so excited in the audience. But Oprah, of course, you know, she's a show woman. She said, but wait, there's more. We're going to give out one more free G6 to somebody in this audience today. One more. In fact, we're going to pass out these gift boxes. And if anyone, if whoever has one key within the box, that's a key to your brand new car. One person in the audience is going to get that. And everybody's like, ah, you know, going crazy. It's funny to watch this. But they come out on this silver platters. People are passing them out, and they're giving out these boxes. They're giving out these boxes, and she starts to say, don't shake the box, don't open the box. Don't shake the box, don't open the box. Don't shake the box, don't open the box. Because everybody's like, do I have the car? Do I have the car? You know, they're excited. And she said, we're going to all open these up together on the count of three. Are you ready? And they're like, yes. You know, one, two, three, open the box, Oprah said, right? And all of a sudden, this one woman jumped up and she said, I won the car. And then a lady over here said, I won a car. I won a car. And every single person opened a box and there was a key inside that they had won. They've won a brand new car. And they didn't get it at first because they thought it was just one. And so Oprah starts illustrating it, and she starts saying, you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. Everybody gets a car. You get a car, and you get a car. She kept doing this over and over. Everybody gets a car, a G6, you know? And it was almost like Pentecost, because in that room, like, people were screaming with joy, and they were crying, and they were the person that they wanted to hate because they wanted them to not get the car. They were hugging them and embracing them, and everybody was jumping up and down together because they all got a car. Now, here's why I tell you that. Because when it comes to God, when it comes to spiritual gifts, God looks at every single believer and he says to you something even crazier. You get a gift, and 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 you get a gift. We all get gifts. Everybody gets a gift, right? Spiritual gifts are not given to the spiritual elite. They're not given when you get your life all together and when you're really, really mature in Christ. The truth is God gives different spiritual gifts, different ones, to every single person, every follower of Jesus. You get a gift. In fact, here, why does God do that, right? Why would God care to give us spiritual gifts? Here's why. Here's the first big idea. It's because the Holy Spirit wants to fill you and use you in the world. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you and use you in the world. He wants you to be in ministry everywhere, wherever you are. So God gives you different gifts. Now, let me clarify that spiritual gifts are not natural talents. Spiritual gifts are not natural talents. They're different. In fact, when you were born, you're given natural talents. Some of you have the ability, have musical abilities. Some of you have athletic abilities. Some of you can communicate well. Some of you are good with numbers. You're given natural abilities, and you could list some of those things. You may be working in accordance with some of your natural gifts. But when you become a Christian, when you're spiritually born, God actually unleashes different. There are spiritual gifts that come alive when you're connected to God. And the cool thing is, over the course of your life, all those natural gifts come one time when you're born. Spiritual gifts can be given more and more and more throughout your life. God can give you more of them. In fact, here's the thing. Although every Christian has a gift, nobody has every gift. I don't have every gift, and you don't have every gift. And God designed it that way. God distributed different gifts and different spiritual abilities so that we can't do the work of God alone. So we've got to work together. Here's what Paul said about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. He said this: a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can, what does it say? So we can help each other in the church, and we can serve people out in the world. Spiritual gifts are not, see, God designed it so that it's one of those things where your spiritual gift is not about just you. It's meant to be leveraged for the sake of the church and for the sake of the world. And when God designed it where you have to come together. We have to work together in the church to accomplish God's mission. And the crazy part is this: if you don't use your spiritual gift, not only do you miss out, but the church, the body of Christ, misses out. We miss you, and we miss that because we're missing your gift. Here's the second big idea that I want to share with you about spiritual gifts, and it's this. Just like Oprah said, everybody has a gift and a responsibility to use it. Everybody has a gift and a responsibility to use it. When God gives good gifts, why would we not put them to use, right? Let me say it differently. All Christians receive spiritual gifts. All gifts are useful, and all of hell wants you to keep you from using your gift. You know, the one thing that the powers of darkness and Satan want more than anything is for you to be confused about what your gift is so that you never use it. You know, it's one of those things where I want to encourage you, don't keep your gift tucked away in a closet, a junk closet, and never let it be used. Activate it and use it. And so let me read to you the two main lists in the Bible of spiritual gifts so that you can be aware of what are some spiritual gifts. And then I'm going to give you a resource so that you can go online and you can take a spiritual gifts test to learn what your spiritual gifts might be, right? And you can read the Bible about it to learn about it, but you can also take a spiritual gifts assessment. So here's the first list. Paul gives us Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. He says this: in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. What is the gift of prophecy? The gift of prophecy, some would say, it's kind of like what I'm doing. It's speaking on behalf of God. Speaking on behalf of God. Others would say it's more direct. It may be God gives you a message and you speak that into somebody's life. The gift of prophecy. Here's what it says next, verse 7. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. Now let's stop here. Serving others. Some of you, we're all called to serve, but some of you just get, your life gets lit on fire when you start serving people. You love serving people. And that might be a clue that God has given you that as a spiritual gift to serve people in a different kind of way. A teacher, this is not just educators in the classroom. This means you have been given the spiritual ability to teach God's word. You love dissecting stuff in scripture and you love teaching that to people. A great place for you to serve might be in a refresh group. You might need to be leading a group if this is your spiritual gift. Here's what it says, verse 8. It says, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. Now, let me just say, this is one of the gifts that we need most today, you know? Some of us, I have the gift of encouragement sometimes. Man, that's debatable when Mandy, you know, talks. I'm encouraging sometimes, right? But this is one of my gifts. And the thing is, there's so many messages today that people hear that they're not good enough. They don't have enough. They're not qualified enough. I am so thankful for people in my life who have encouraged me, who have pointed out gifts in me, and I'm standing where I am today and who I am today because of people who saw something in me and encouraged me. So if you've got that gift, man, let it fly. Encourage people. Find ways to do that. It's a spiritual gift. It says, here's what Paul said next. He said, if it is giving, give generously. Now that kind of sounds funny. Generosity or the gift of giving is all-encompassing. It's not just financial, but it's being generous in your life. And all of us are called to be generous, but there are some people who are in a, and especially financially, there are some of you who God has positioned you strategically in your career and in your life to be extraordinarily generous. We're all called to be generous, so it's not like, well, I don't have that gift, right? We're all called to do that. But some of you, God has given you the financial ability to explode things forward in the kingdom of God by your generosity. And it's one of the coolest things what God does through, we're going to see that even more in our campaign and even beyond, but God may have given you that ability. It says this, if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. In other words, lead well. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now the thing is, some of you are awesome, awesome, awesome. You'll find somebody in need and you just want to show kindness to them. That might be a clue. Maybe you go pray with them in the hospital or something. That might be your spiritual gift. Here's what the other list says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's what Paul said, verse 7. It says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. We read that already. Verse 8. It says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special wisdom. So wisdom and knowledge. Some of you, people just come to you for advice because you give good advice. And you may think, well, I'm just really smart. Well, God may have given you the supernatural ability to have wisdom and knowledge. And you may need to be using that in your refresh groups and in your spheres of influence to impart that to people. Here's what it says, verse 9. It says, the same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. I don't have the gift of healing. Like, I'll come pray with you in the hospital, and I'm not going to, like, bet on, you know, the chances. You know, there's other people that have that. I'm just kidding. But I do have the gift of faith, the ability to see God's ability to move in situations and to move around us in ways that maybe other people can't see. It's a spiritual gift that I've been given. Maybe you have that as well, that when something looks bleak or dark, some people will say, oh, you're just you're just real positive. No, I'm not. It's faith, right? It's the gift of faith. Here's what it says next. It says, he gives one person the power to perform miracles. That would be cool. And another, the ability to prophesy. We talked about that. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. So the gift of discernment. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, speaking in tongues. And while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said, the interpretation of tongues, right? Here's what it says next. It says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Everybody gets a gift. And I don't know what your gift is, but here's a link where you can go online on our website, thefountainumc.org/gifts. And there's two spiritual gifts tests. One's a PDF that's super helpful. Another one is a digital one that you got to register for, but both are free. And you can go on and find out what your spiritual gift might be. But I want to encourage you to find out what your spiritual gift is, to discover that, and to use it. Be filled with the fruits of the Spirit and unleash your gifts in the world. As we come to the table this morning, we come to recognize the greatest gift that God could ever give us. Well, on the night in which Jesus gave his life for us, he was with his disciples. Right before he was about to go to the cross to give his life for us, he was sitting with his disciples, and he took the bread, and he gave thanks to the Father. And he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to the Father once again. And he said to his disciples, drink of this, all of you. This is my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so we come to the table this morning to be reminded once again of how much we need to be connected to God. But we also come to recognize that the Holy Spirit, that God is here, and God wants to meet you right here at this table. And it's more than bread and juice. God wants to offer you once again his grace to sustain you and to fill you. And so let's pray over this time as we continue. God, thank you so much for the way you love us and for the way you want to fill us, not only with spiritual gifts and not only with fruits of the Spirit, but you want to fill us with your life and with your grace. And God, as we come to the table, we come recognizing how much we need you in our life, God, how much we need you to fill us and to make us who you've called us to be. So God, as we come to the table, we come to receive once again of your grace. God, we pray over these elements of bread and juice that we might be, that they might become more than that, that they would become the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by your blood. And so God, now send us out to be the body of Christ in the world, to unleash our gifts in the world through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.